Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Hereward Fenton. And in hour two of today's show, we're going to get into the deep and the dark and the conspiratorial. I'm going to plunge into uncharted waters here with my guest Damon Crowe. And we may incur the displeasure of some people from what we are about to say. Although I should hesitate to use the word we. I think it's more what Damon may or may not say during the next hour, which may incur the displeasure. I will have plausible deniability. Being the mere host of the show...
I'll try not to offend people, but, you know, if the truth hurts...
Damon, we've had some discussions in the past about the whole field of, you know, alternative thinking, conspiracy theory.
That'd be me.
The world of truthers. Mm. And, you know, you've certainly opined on some of this to suggest that you believe that a lot of what's going on is not 100% kosher, as we might say. Now, before I let you plunge into that, let me just say that I don't even have a benchmark by which I would say what is correct and what is incorrect. Everything that I do is based on what I believe to be evidence. Mm. Everything that I say on this show is based upon what I believe to be have evidence behind it. So if someone if someone came along and said that there are little green men flying around in flying saucers, I wouldn't throw that out. I wouldn't say, oh, that's ridiculous. How dare you say that? Mm. I would say, fine, show me your evidence. Let's talk about it, right?
Yeah.
But I have not seen good evidence about the little green men in flying saucers. So it's something that I just don't talk about on this show. Yeah. And there are many subjects like that because there are many people who believe many, many things. Mm. And, of course, as we know, there are many religions. There are people who believe that the world was created in the sense of the way it was mapped out in the Bible.
Right.
There are people of different religions who have different beliefs about how the world is created, what the true structures of the universe are.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people are just, you know, that's their culture, that's their belief. And again, that I certainly wouldn't want to say, oh, you're terrible or you're stupid for having those beliefs. I prefer to follow an empirical source of reasoning. I try to look for evidence.
Yep. Now, you're a good honest journo. That's all I've got to say. I'm not a good honest journo. I'm just me. By the way, if the bookmark two things, agents, John Bursell's an agent is one. Okay, that's the first one or second bookmark.
Okay,
and Mount Yengo is another bookmark. So just because I've got, you know, I must have Alzheimer's or too much fluoride in the last 45 something years. So just we bookmark those two. Mount Yengo, right? The place that the Aborigines. Believe one of the most ancient human beings that ever lived on this planet, believe that the from the most ancient continent that's on the planet from a lot of geological studies, believes that the creator of all things, Byama, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that, and I'm sorry if I'm not, because I'm only pronouncing that because I believe they named the town Kiama with a K after Byama, came and left from Mount Yengo. And there's no reason why we couldn't... we don't have images with this. We can't show them.
Oh, Mount Yengo. Put them on the website. Now, Mount Yengo is a mountain near where you live.
On the Central Coast.
The Central Coast of New South Wales.
Just south of the Hunter Valley, a very famous wine district in Australia. Not as famous for people if you're in America. If you're going red wines, you want to go down in the South Australian and West Australian regions. But New South Wales is not a bad... second, third player in the Australian wine market. But beautiful God's country up there. And the Aboriginal genome, from my understanding and from a lot of research, has proven to be one of the most ancient, in fact, older than the, from a lot of people saying this now, than the African. And they believe the creator of all things, came and left from the top of Mount Yango, which looks like a Chinese pyramid. As
I've seen the photographs, it is an extraordinary shape. It has that flat top, sort of mesa type shape, but it's covered in trees. Now, what I find interesting about that is that that mountain may have been in a very arid time, because basically it is actually weathering that causes that shape, that flat top.
Right.
But presently, that whole area is covered in thick forest. So it may well have been
very old.
A much more dry area.
Suggest the Chinese is very old. The thing that we're finding is that we're finding ancient civilizations that go back 3,000 years, 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 50,000 years, and it goes on and on and on. Max Egan's got a great site called The Crow House, where he releases a book for free on there, where you can go to Forbidden Secrets or something similar, and it just basically plots out a whole bunch of unexplained artifacts that go way back in time, nano astrological calculators that date back 40,000 years, and crystal skulls and all sorts of unexplained phenomena. And once you start waking up, I find you start getting into the esoteric, and of course the people that we're up against are besotted with the esoteric. And I must admit, I haven't had a sacrificial, ceremony lately.
Can't you?
No. But they used to. And right. They used to derive some energy from these things.
Cremation of care?
Yeah. And I seem to think that there's a lot more going on. I've certainly found... I thought one of the interesting ideas was to create a university of conspiracy. I thought, you know, an idea would be once a year we could have a conspiratorial awards, you know, handed out by the leaders in the conspiratorial movement to people who have done their university degree in conspiracy. You know, I kind of worked out the other day that it's up over 3,000-4,000 hours of study into this subject, which is probably similar to a university course, I would imagine. And the more you know, you realize you probably know about half of 1% of what the hell's going on. And
so what's your deepest, darkest conspiracy, Damon?
Oh, look.
I mean, we
yeah.
Take the point about John Bursley. He's a great listener to this show.
Yeah, he's probably a friend of yours and all that sort of jazz.
We'll let him have a right of reply to that at some point.
Yeah. Well, he never gave me the right of reply to anything he responded on, I must admit.
Yeah, point taken. You know, question on notice. We'll get John to respond to the allegation there. But I mean, what else have you got? I know you've got a lot more in your arsenal.
Well, how much do I let out of the closet? I don't know.
What do you think about the 9/11 truth movement?
Oh, it's obviously clearly infiltrated, had been from the get-go. They lead their best way of defence is to lead the opposition. They knew that this was one of the greatest global mind-controlled events of our era. Amazing event, really, from a brainwashing point of view, and an implementation, as you correctly pointed out, of so many things. They knew that people would start to figure out, hang on, this doesn't add up. And, of course, what better way to counter the opposition than to lead it? And that's exactly what these guys do. And if you're going to start a resistance movement in Australia, why not lead it with one of your guys? Now, whether John knows he's being controlled, I don't know. I really don't know. But clearly, one of the things that came out just recently was Cosmos got caught up for introducing a one of his family members as being a victim of 9/11. You know, you get the sympathy card.
Of course,
card.
Cosmos being the host of a radio show for
very
a while.
Very close to John.
And he was the organiser of the 11th of the month protests, which were quite popular for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I mean, we could go on, I guess, you know, taking snipey, you know,
well, I don't think it's a snipey thing, but
it's
clearly Cosmos has obviously introduced a family member that doesn't stack up on one of if John's dub. Maybe it does. Look, maybe I've got John wrong. I mean, I don't profess to know. I mean, I'm quite happy to tell you the things that I don't know. I don't know about aliens. I don't know about what created us. I know the things that I've researched that have got strong facts to the level that you need before you feel comfortable with them. And I understand that kind of left brain thinking, but I also think that your intuition, that there's a deeper level of understanding that I can talk to someone and I'll say something and I'll try to provide further evidence, but they'll know already at a deeper level that already resonates with them, and they understand that to be true. They don't know why it's true. It's a little bit why do dogs behave like dogs? Why do elephants behave like elephants? There's intuition woven into you. You don't learn that. You know, you go to school until you're 18 years old before you have the privilege to go to university for another 4 years of your life. And in none of that period will you discuss intuition. You'll never really understand astrology. So why don't they teach you about intuition or astrology at school? These are things that were absolutely paramount. These are the highest areas of knowledge that was protected as sacred knowledge to the ancients. Yet these things have been wiped out over the last 2,000 years plus. And why is that? Why do we know so many things that is woven into us, but we don't know why we know these things? What's going on here? What is this life? Do we go on to another period? What are we doing here? There is so much life going on throughout the entire galaxy, throughout the entire universe. Light, we're just starting to understand what light really means, a source of all information. And you get into astrology with another great Australian called Santos Bonacci, who explained to you about astrology and light, and that magnetism and gravity are all related to electromagnetics, and light is electromagnetics. Great thinkers like Tesla have been kept away from the masses, deliberately, intentionally, in my point of view. It's ridiculous to think that they accidentally kept these people away. What's really going on here? There's something very, very sinister going on here. There's clearly evil at play, and we don't wrestle that back.
Clearly the situation has got so ridiculous. I mean, look at that Syrian story we were covering there earlier. Yeah. Look at what's happened to Julian Assange. I mean, look at the whole history of what's happened in the last few years. Look at the Iraq war. Look at the lies about 9/11.
Yeah.
It's really incontrovertible now that we are immersed in a
B-grade
massive
movie.
B-grade movie. Yeah.
It feels like I'm a live actor in a B-grade soap opera. That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, Vinnie Eastwood's got a great little track that's out at the moment called Everybody's Asleep, Everyone But Me. And I've got to say, that's a great track. I mean, that's how I feel. There's so much going on and everybody's zombified, walking around in some sort of dumbed-out trance. And the crap that gets spread around in those treasonous newspapers and the crap that comes out on the TV, it's just ridiculous. And the mainstream books that get fed to you by the mainstream book retailers, it's just a load of bollocks as far as I'm concerned. And most people who are listening to me know, realise that. And so everybody's on the quest to find out what the hell is going on here.
Damon, we're just going to break. You can continue with your rant immediately upon our return. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be talking to you today. I'll be right back.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Truth News Radio, Conspiracy Central. Tonight, we bring you the deep and the dark and the disturbing. Now, Damon, let me fess up and tell you some of my concerns, some of my deep, dark, conspiratorial fears about the conspiratorial movements themselves. This is a conspiracy within conspiracy.
Yeah, that's
right?
What it's turned out to be.
And I've had these concerns for a long time, so this is nothing new. I don't believe that the chemtrails phenomenon is, I don't believe that it is correct in terms of the way the masses of people who talk about the trails in the sky talk about it. I believe that they're mistaken in what they're saying, but I believe they've been subjected to a delusional propaganda about it, and because they don't actually apply good critical thinking and evidence-based research, they don't get out of the loop of what happens with your imagination. When you start imagining things, you get caught in a loop. Now, I'm not sure what your beliefs are about the chemtrails phenomenon, but I believe that there is a conspiracy within a conspiracy here that was actually to make us all look ridiculous by introducing something that was totally implausible into general discourse.
No, I like it.
So that then the people who uphold the standard views of things can say, well, oh, you must be one of those people who think we're being sprayed from the sky.
Fake conspiracy to bring down the conspiracy movement. Yeah, I love it. That's what I'd do. I'd put in a couple of fake conspiracies with inside the conspiracy movement if I was one of them. I'd love to be one of them. Just, you know, it's just brilliant. So, yeah, so much fun. I could play around with this all day long. So what you do is you create a couple of fake conspiracies, feed that into the conspiracy movement, right, to sucker the genuine conspiracy people into it. So it looks, feels, you know.
Now,
like
I'm largely
accent.
Alone in this, except for my agent friend John Bursell. But you know what I mean? Like, he and I see eye to eye on
John,
this, right?
If John doesn't believe in there's probably a few question marks. But that's one source. I believe you've got to test multiple sources to find the validation on it. And I don't have a hard and fast feeling on the chem spraying. It looks bloody unusual to me. It seems like that's the sort of crap that these guys can sort of do. They're right into heavy metals. They're certainly into seeding the atmosphere. They can certainly change the weather. They're into HAARP. They're into a lot of really bizarre stuff. So my right brain creative side said, yes, I can understand that. I could come to terms with that. Is it true or not? I don't honestly know. I'm very suspicious of it. But for some reason, I'm not really outraged about it as I am about other things, because it's not an area that has really captivated me. What's captivated me is the fact that a lot of ancient technology and a lot of ancient history has been seen to be eradicated out of the vernacular, out of our mindset. So I know that something very global and quite amazing is going on. Now, is chem spraying chemtrails part of the equation? I don't know. They look incredibly suspicious to me.
And yet, they don't look suspicious until someone tells you they're suspicious.
No, I actually take photos of them. I mean, I see them, I take photos, and I just think it's bizarre.
But someone told you it was bizarre at one point. Like, up until then, you probably thought nothing about it. Yeah, and then someone said, oh, look at that, that's strange. And you go, oh, that is strange.
Conspiracy is like science, pure science, right? I actually don't mind that theory. I like it. I like it, and I'm quite happy to entertain it. Mm. Why can't you talk about theories, right, completely disconnected from who I am? You've got a theory, and you've got some evidence that supports your theory. I quite like it. Put it on the table. We've got some other evidence in. Let's kick it around and see if we can find the truth. People that religiously attach themselves to ideas are very dangerous. People that won't change their mind are very dangerous. I'll change my mind based upon the information.
Okay, there are two claims people who really strongly support the chemtrails conspiracy theory, chemtrail alarmists, I call them. Okay. Chemtrail alarmists have two very strongly held views which they continually put forth and which I continually knock down. And I'll tell you what they are. One view that they continually put forth is that persistent contrails never used to exist, that it's a new phenomenon that only started, in some cases, people say 10 years ago, sometimes they say 15. the earliest time that they say it began was around about the mid-1990s.
Yeah.
And that, and what they say is, before then, we lived in a world that didn't have this phenomenon, right? Yeah. That's one claim they make.
Yeah.
The second claim they make is that normal aircraft contrails dissipate after a short period of time, whereas chemtrails persist and grow and feather out. Now, those are two claims that are made by chemtrail alarmists. So, firstly, the first one, let me firstly debunk the first one. Persistent contrails, or chemtrails, if you want to call them that, have been around for as long as aircraft were in the sky. And I can prove that for a fact. I'm 100% sure of it. I'm really not in any doubt about it. The people who say that chemtrails, in other words, those long white lines that you see in the sky, never occurred before such and such a date, are just wrong. They haven't done their research. And it's very easy to find the proof of it. Okay. And I've done this on my website many times. It's all on Truth News. If you don't believe me, just put chemtrails and go to Truth News, search on chemtrails. You'll see all the information. There's photographs and video even from World War II that show a lot of those fighter planes in World War II that flew up to very high altitudes. They were producing huge long white contrails. It was very common, very, very common. Through the 50s, 60s and 70s, planes were producing contrails. There weren't as many aircraft in the sky back then, but the planes were producing contrails, no doubt about it. Now, the second point is that people often make is that a normal contrail dissipates quickly, whereas a chemtrail persists and then feathers out until it like becomes a cloud and fills the sky. Normal contrails do exactly that. And it all depends on atmospheric conditions. And this is totally within the normal laws of physics and meteorology, because it's all about the humidity and temperature at a given moment in time that determines whether those little ice crystals, and they are actually ice crystals, that's what they are, whether they actually evaporate again or not. It's a humidity factor. If the air is dry enough, what actually happens is that the ice crystals, which form from the moisture from the exhaust of the plane, or even just from the backwash of air over the plane, will actually evaporate again.
This is a lot of technical gobbledygook. I mean, I'm an engineer kind of by background and in a very engineering-intensive business. I know there's risks involved when you start going down this path. Look, let me do a little bit of research. Let me come back and respond to that one, because I've got some very good friends of mine that are quite passionate about that subject, and I respect their view, but I haven't done my homework. So can we leave this topic in particular till I get a little bit more information that might be able to test your knowledge, because I think your knowledge is way up and beyond where I am. I don't have a hard and fast feeling on this subject. It's not something that I'd like to think that I've got to reach a certain level of investigation on a subject before I feel that I'm comfortable on understanding it, and this is not one of them.
Fair enough. Let's get on to some of the more out there 9/11 theories, which I know you've kind of investigated.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm actually, not as, what you might call hard and fast about that as you might imagine. I actually have a very open mind about what possibly might have happened on 9/11, because I know that the events that occurred have not been explained properly by our authorities, and the official reports are ludicrous. So
So I think we all agree that the official story is absolute rubbish, by a factor of 1,000. It's just a question now of, okay, how insane are we talking here in this idea? And I just don't think the nanothermite idea really adds up, in my opinion.
Let's get into nanothermite after the break. You're with Truth News Australia, talking to Damon Crowe, and we're getting into some really nasty conspiracies now. We'll be right back.
The man who stole the water will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that gold. That faint white light will haunt his heart till his only memory lost in the dark. Dig a hole in the ground, straight down to hell, till there ain't no more water in the well, well, well. When you're down on your knees with nothing left to sell, won't you try digging a little deeper in the well, well, well. Say well.
Welcome back. You're with Truth News. Now, we're getting into some questions about 9/11. And I just wanted to address with Damon some of the more bizarre theories, ones that are generally regarded as fringe theories. And I'm certainly not saying I endorse any of these, but I'm also saying that I do not have a closed mind at all. And I think it's really important not to have a closed mind and just say, oh, I'll never allow that idea in. But at the same time, I need to be free to have my opinion. And I can tell you that I think Judy Wood is nuts, okay? And I don't believe a single thing she said, yeah, right. And I think it's total rubbish, okay? But, I mean, you were about to bring up this nanothermite thing, and Judy Wood is one of these people who's considered to be, you know, on the fringe of 9/11 research.
No, people do character assassinations, right? I don't like that. You know, let's just deal with the
evidence.
Well,
I just did it.
Yeah,
but I stand by it.
So if you want to find the truth, then you have to leave the personality to one side, and let's just have a look at the evidence. To me, when you replay those buildings, you're looking over a million tons of solid material, basically vaporizing to dust in a period of seconds, you know, 10 seconds per building, three buildings, works out to be roughly a million tons, three quarters, in other words, you know, 750,000 tons of that disappears in 10 seconds a pop, basically. So if they all were, you know, demolished at the same time,
yeah,
you'd literally demolish close to a million tons of material in 10 seconds if they were all ignited at the same time. So pardon the pun, because I don't mean that it's a controlled demolition by
yes.
that point of view. But if you have a look at the top of one of the towers had a very tall post that these, you know, and they're always very symbolic, these, you know, twin towers, the tuning forks somebody craps on about, and you know that all the churches, of course, have the twin towers, and, you know, the two and, you know, the good and the evil, the day and the night, the duplicity. They love the twin towers, both the Islamic and the Christian religion. So very symbolic, the twin towers, very, very tall. I mean, massively tall these buildings were. And they were vanished, as well as Building 7, three buildings. And if they were all done at the same time, would have all disappeared in 10 seconds. Now, I don't know any technology that I'm familiar with that can make a million tons of material vanish. Now, they like to say nanothermite does, but from an engineering point of view, from an analytical point of view, and I bought that story for many, many years. I bought that story hook, line, and sinker. However, when the buildings are starting to demolish, the very top of one of the buildings with a great big penis, pardon the pun, but that's what these things are.
If you sure. know, obelisk, phallic symbols. Yeah.
Phallic symbols. They had this great big rod on top of one of them that spanned a long way into the sky. I'm not totally sure the total distance, but a long way into the sky. It basically silhouetted, vaporized in front of your eyes. These buildings vaporized. There was some explosions, yes, at the basement, and some other very strange activity going on. And I'm not suggesting that it could not have been nanothermite, but I have not seen anywhere where nanothermite can do that sort of level of vaporization. It can cut steel, but can't vaporize close to a million tons of solid steel and other solid material that had not lost its structural integrity up to that moment in time. It could not also have burnt out vehicles a kilometre away at ground floor and vaporised the engine bays of those cars and leave the interior intact. You could not have paper just wandering down through the street. The entire buildings, when you walked from the ground level onto these buildings that were the greatest buildings feelings of humankind when they were developed. You walked onto them at ground level. The entire top of the building had vaporized in 10 seconds apiece. Now, something extraordinary happened there. I think we're all in agreement. I don't see nanothermite, which is a cutting agent, which you know, they had a their theory is that it cuts through the steel, and it does do that. You would create these detonation charges on various levels and cut them in a stagnated way so that the building lopsided and so forth. But that doesn't vaporize every other. There was 60 plus external beams, 45 interior beams, 3 inches of certifiable steel, blah, 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 blah. These things were built like a German tank. You cannot vaporize that in 10 seconds using anything that we know of.
And you're not happy with the findings of the multidisciplinary team led by Niels Harrit and Richard Gage.
Anything coming out of a university, unlike John Bursell, I instantly discredit, because the university movement is under their control. When anybody puts a signature 24/7 on their signature, you know, 9/11 and what does he say, justice 24/7, or you know, and justice 7 till 24, you know, 24/7 or something ridiculous on the end of his signature. Well, that's the idea that you're going to go through the judicial system which they own, and you're going to seek some form of justice. Are you mental? That is never going to happen, buddy. Never. Never. That's never going to happen. And the idea that no information, unless it's gone through a peer review white paper, is somehow the only way in which you can judge the merit of the truth on this subject is just ludicrous, because as we know, the climate change movement is run out of the very same group, and they control all the white papers and the universities. It's very difficult to get them to come up with the theories coming out of that university movement. So whilst I like the ideas, we funded a dinner, I met Professor Stephen Jones and all those guys, and look, you know, lovely guys, and I met them and so forth. I can't help but feel that this group has been infiltrated from the get-go, and this whole thing just doesn't add up. I don't feel good about this. Something does not add up. And I don't think John adds up. You know, who's this mate of his in Qantas? This is another one of these cosmos phantom, relatives that don't exist. What's that all about?
Well, I mean, let's just get back to the theory, the evidence, and your views. Yeah. So, you know, a theory was put forward originally by. Sorry, I've gone blank because I'm a bit exhausted
Professor
today.
Jones,
Professor Stephen Jones, yeah. Thank you. Initially, that thermite may have been used, and then he refined that theory. Mm. It became, you know, thermite with sulfur added, which would allow for the eutectic effect, lowering the melting point of steel. We then had Richard Gage come along and Niels Harrit to propose the nanothermite idea, which is that it's actually a high-grade form of thermite made in a lab, and it turned out that Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, which is connected to NIST, had actually been engaged in nanothermite research. And then you had the paper that was produced in 2009, which purports to actually show micrograph evidence of the red chips, which they claim is actually nanothermite.
Sure.
So do you feel uncomfortable with that whole progression?
No, not at all. This is they own the education. Well, I mean, once you get into these guys, you'll realize these guys own the education sector. They own the finance sector. They own the political sector. They own all these systems. So to go and get something out of the accredited university white paper movement that supports this theory, I mean, it just stands to reason. They have effectively disrailed the 9/11 movement only as long as they need to pull off World War III, which is what I believe they're about to pull off. So they don't need to derail it forever. They know that it'll never stand up forever. It doesn't need to stand up forever, because they're about to pull another stunt that's going to make 9/11 look like a little walk in the park. And so this was only meant to be derailed until now. And they've done that. They've done it. They've done it by factional fighting within the 9/11 movement, by all this, you know, white papers versus this and all the rest of it. And all these little creatures that supported all this will just disappear because they're no longer needed. because we're into the next phase. The next phase is upon us. That phase is gone now. We had an opportunity to fight the 9/11 movement, and that's gone. That'll be gone because something even more ridiculous, even more insane is about to be thrown upon us. And I do not believe that they would pull something like that off without knowing that there was going to be a resistance. And they led that resistance knowing that people would start to figure that out. And it's crazy not to think that they would have led that movement. Of course, it's been infiltrated. That's just naive to think that they would not infiltrate that movement.
Well, I think I can agree with the strong possibility that it has been infiltrated. And we know that this has been discussed. I mean, we know that there are actually government written papers on the subject of cognitive infiltration, which this is information that's in the public domain. This is not something that I'm making up, and this has been well discussed, and it's, you know, quite easy to find the information. Again, my memory fails me, but the articles on cognitive infiltration were written by advisors to the US government. So we know that exists. And the idea of cognitive infiltration, what is that? Well, that is the idea that you would actually send people into alternative groups to influence them, to shape their thinking, to pose as one of them while shaping their thinking. Now, another step a little bit beyond that would be the idea that you would bring in deliberate disinformation to keep people off the track or take them in a direction which is going to be non-productive. We're going to break. We'll be back with one more segment and we'll get into some of that non-productive disinformation. With Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Now, I have a link for that cognitive infiltration topic that we were talking about before, and I have a name. The name, of course, is Cass Sunstein, who is an academic who has been working as an advisor to the Obama administration. And, of course, in 2008, Sunstein authored a paper titled Conspiracy Theories, Dealing with the Risks and Possible Government Responses to False Conspiracy Theories Resulting from Faulty Information Within Groups. In this article, they wrote, "The existence of both domestic and foreign conspiracy theories is no trivial matter. They propose that the best response consists in cognitive infiltration of extremist groups, where they suggest, among other tactics, government agents might enter chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups and attempt to undermine conspiracy theories by raising doubts about their factual premises, causal logic, or implications for political action." Now, of course, that sounds almost benign because you think, well, they're just going to tell you what's right. They're only going to tell you what's true. But, of course, as we know, the word cognitive infiltration implies something deceptive, doesn't it? It implies you're going to trick people, right? Now, if you're going to trick people, why tell them the truth? Why not tell them another lie? Because, yeah. I mean, if your main
effect, these guys are good.
Well, exactly.
They're good.
If your main intention is to throw people off from what they're thinking, why not, as well as what they say here, you know, correct them, why not give them some really crazy things to believe, yeah, so that you can then conflate, yeah, the really crazy things, yeah, yeah, with the other things they say.
We can link the crazy idea for the, yeah, guys that had 90% of their ideas were valid, but we've linked the guys that had 90% of their ideas were good with 10% of the ideas which are completely cocoa. Now that we've proven that those ideas are cocoa, now all of their ideas are cocoa.
Yeah, and that sounds like real cognitive infiltration to me. If I was really going to infiltrate cognitively,
that's what I'd do
too.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you and I don't, you don't, we don't agree 100% on what, on sure. what that is. I mean, you know, in some ways, I think you think that some of these more outre ideas of 9/11 have been unfairly criticized. But see, many of us have actually seen those, what you call those, the, those fringe people themselves as being undermining
us.
Well,
you went out and saw Dimitri out at
Indeed. I went to Thailand.
And I
interviewed Dimitri Kolesov.
Was he a good guy? He seemed like a nice sort of guy.
Now, for listeners, can you just explain who Dimitri Kolesov is?
Well, I think you should because you met the guy. But only after I recommended you to meet him. But I believe he worked for the Russian military, am I correct?
I've been told, yes.
And also according to himself, anyway, he seems to know a lot about nuclear stuff. I think he used to specialise in that area. Look, he seems like a nice enough guy. I've spoke to him on the – he seems to have all the hallmarks of a truther.
He's incredibly polite, I will say that.
He doesn't seem to have a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Lives on his ass somewhere in Thailand, if I'm not corrected.
Bangkok,
I just rang him out of the blue. Somehow got in contact with him through him somehow. I don't know how. And
I will say he has a military bearing to him.
Yeah, very strong military background. So he could be an insider and he doesn't know it. So this is just a theory and I don't attach myself to theory. So I don't mind that people have a go at these things.
Can you summarize his theory of
9/11? He came up with the most logical theory to me, which was the fact that they had controlled thermonuclear explosions underneath the bottom of these buildings, controlled in the large percentage of the. You can look up Dimitri on the internet, and he's got some very long interviews. And we should actually put the one that you did up there one day. I've just been
too
freaking lazy to do it, but
sure.
He's got some very. They said everybody inside the military and the Secret Service areas knew that the buildings were designed for controlled demolition in case there was something that needed to be brought down, and they rigged the buildings with the controlled demolition, which they knew about in the 60s and 70s, how to bring things down where the large percentage of the blast would be contained under the ground, and the shock wave would be set upwards, and the shock wave went up the building and vaporized the building from the bottom up. Which explode. So he explained all the detonations, explained how they did it in detail. Underneath the buildings, he had photos of the substrate, the sandstone substrate or granite substrate, basically put into a molten form, in a dome format. He went through a lot of mathematics and science. This is not a flimsy theory. He'd put a lot of thought into this, and it seemed to hold a lot of weight. I had to say, once I heard the Judy Woods one, even though you think she's completely nutty, and maybe she is, maybe the true story is Dimitri and Judy is the plant. I don't know. I really don't know. I would like to actually go back with Judy Woods' theory to Dimitri and get Dimitri to do a write of reply, because I haven't heard anybody really critique Judy, but I know Judy smashes, in my opinion, the thermite theory. I just haven't heard anybody counter her argument. I really like Dimitri. Personally, I've got a good vibe on him. I've never met Judy, so from a personal level, she could be a plant. I've got no validation on who she is as a person, but I've actually rung up and spoken to Dimitri. I haven't done that to Judy Woods, and I'm not.
Now, I was following Dimitri reasonably okay up till the point where he suddenly blurted out that he didn't believe there were any planes.
Yeah, I don't hit those buildings on 9/11. I don't either. I've got to say, my gut instinct that there wasn't. I think that's a bit bizarre, and I'm quite happy for that to be thrown away. But they are very much capable of holographic images. And
I feel pretty comfortable that there were actually planes that hit those buildings.
Well, I'd never seen anything that validates that. They're very dark images that hit the plane. They seem to be very scripted. When I got a close-up view of those outside beams, I think if you took a controlled experiment in the Arizona desert where there's meant to be a graveyard of planes and shuttled one of those planes along on railway tracks and hit the outside perimeters of those buildings made up and replicated, I don't think you'd have much of the plane going in. The fact that they just sliced through those beams like butter. I think they want us to divide and conquer us on all this shit, by the way. Like, the whole idea that we've got to argue about this stuff and then dividing and the the argument on the detail, I think, is meant to be distracting us away from actually uniting and pursuing the enemy. The more they want us arguing amongst each other, the more they go ahead. So I don't actually like the idea of arguing on this stuff, because it's not the point. Let's be united and move forward after the enemy. And it doesn't really matter whether it was nanothermite or Judy Woods or Dimitri's concept, really. What it means is, and they've forgotten about it, by the way. They're no longer concerned about it because they're about to implement something else. They're no longer wanting to protect this. And why don't they want to protect this? Because they're going to reveal something else that is going to take your entire energy, all your thoughts, all your concentration, all your being is going to be deflected towards their next incident that they are going to artificially construct.
Any suggestions about what you think that might be?
I've got no idea. I think
could just be another war.
I would think they're going to lead it to World War III. I'd say it's going to be in steps, but I don't know. Anybody who professes they know would have to be in the inside. I would think that the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, whatever the hell that thing is at the moment, you've got the Venus transit happening this week, and you've also, which I think we're right into it at the moment, the Venus transit, and I think it's Wednesday to Saturday this week, Australian time at least, and you've got the Queen, the demonic Queen's Diamond Jubilee, and of course you've got the Olympics, and I don't think they could possibly refuse the opportunity of seizing on the Olympics. They've already got a whole bunch of ridiculous symbolization woven into that. They've got, you know, bombs ready to go on people's roofs, you know, and I'd be very surprised that they don't seize upon the London time. And Syria, everything's going according to plan. They've got they're going to stir up Syria. They're going to then lead into the Olympics. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, bang, in my opinion.
All indications are that this summer is going to be unprecedented in its. There's going to be unprecedented uproar and unrest around the world. We're gearing up towards it, and of course it's going to be our winter here. And Australia's having a remarkably chilly May, but you know, we're going into winter now. Of course, the Northern Hemisphere is going into summer. Summer is particularly typically the time when social unrest really mounts. You know,
yeah.
We saw it last year, and we're going to see it again this year, but it's already started early. It started early. So it's going to increase. Recently, there's been massive protests in Canada. I don't know if you've been following this, Damon, but in Montreal in Canada, there have been 250,000 people marching in the street day after day after day. And the government has cracked down with absolute brutality on this. The government in Canada has effectively banned protest. They've actually now required the protesters to ask permission before they can actually assemble in the street. This is what has been reached in Canada. And this is not the Occupy movement. This is another thing completely. This is actually based on student tuition hikes, which apparently were so severe it was just completely destroying people's ability to be at university. So there was this movement that developed in the streets of Montreal, but it's now turning into a general movement. It's expanded beyond what it was, and it's not the Occupy movement. See, the Occupy movement, again, is fascinating, isn't it? The Occupy movement, it appears to have been it appears to have been something that was a little bit co-opted and a little bit organized that was hurting people in a certain direction. Yeah. But people are going in different directions and the social unrest is growing.
So let's get this people who've got this growing unrest, and let's just guide them to a particular direction, you know, and then derail them. Let's guide them to where we need to take them. So they generally hijack these movements and then derail them, or park them, as I like to say them. Park them so they're innocuous and no longer of any value.
And on that note, we're going to have to end tonight's transmission. I do hope that you find it enjoyable. If you've got any questions, any criticisms, please let me know. If you feel you've been slandered or slurred in this show...
Good.
Well... Of course,
I hope so.
I welcome any kind of response, and you will have a right of reply.
Oh, good.
Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be back next week.
Roger that.